I don't know if you've heard that song, but my future daughter-in-law sent me that about a week ago. It blew my doors off, because that is truth. You are your Father's child, and He's proud of you, and you make Him smile. Don't believe anything else. Anything else that's living rent-free in your head, get rid of it. Pray with me. Father, we love You. We thank You for who You are and how much You love us. Let us be reminded of the truth that we're Your children. You're proud of us, and You wouldn't change a thing, because we are made in Your image. Father, let us open Your Word and learn more about You, so we can be more of what You want us to be. Let the words that are spoken be Yours, and give us ears to hear, and open our eyes and let us see. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. We are on a journey through the book of John. Last week, we saw Jesus' first recorded miracle in chapter 2. And then it says He spent a couple days with His family and His brand new disciples that are just a couple of days on board at this point. Then He went to Jerusalem for the Passover and got a little upset there at what was happening in His Father's house. Cleaned that out. And then at the end of chapter 2, He starts witnessing to Nicodemus, and through most of chapter 3, tells probably the clearest picture of the gospel of salvation of anywhere in Scripture. He explains it completely. He then crosses paths with John again. And then we come to chapter 4. To an amazing story. An amazing story that not only shows who He is, but shows who we are. And so I sprang something on the media people this morning, so you may have to bear with them. But a number of years ago, there was something called the Visual Bible. If you don't have it and you can still find it, you should get it, because it is a video of the book of John. There's Matthew and there's Acts. And it is just a movie of those books. But it is word for word Scripture. You can follow it with your Bible. And so this morning, rather than me read you chapter 4, let's watch it. And you can follow along if you have a phone or something.
The Pharisees heard that Jesus was winning and baptizing more disciples than John. Actually, Jesus Himself did not baptize anyone, only His disciples did. So when Jesus heard what was being said, He left Judea and went back to Galilee. On His way there, He had to go through Samaria. In Samaria, He came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water.
Give me a drink of water.
His disciples had gone into town to buy food.
You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink?
Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use.
If you only knew what God gives, and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him. And he would give you a life-giving water.
Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?
Those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring, which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life.
Sir, give me that water. Then I will never be thirsty again. Nor will I have to come here to draw water.
Go and call your husband and come back.
I don't have a husband.
You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You've been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth.
I see you are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain. But you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God.
Believe me, woman. The time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship. But we Jews know whom we worship, because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming. And is already here. When by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit. And only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is.
I know that the Messiah will come. And when he comes, he will tell us everything.
I am he. I who am talking with you.
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the town.
Come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?
So they left the town and went to Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus, "Teacher, have something to eat." But he answered,
"I have food to eat that you know nothing about."
So the disciples started asking among themselves, "Could somebody have brought him food?"
"My food is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested. The one who reaps the harvest is being paid and gathers the crops for eternal life. So the one who plants and the one who reaps will be glad together. For the saying is true, someone plants, someone else reaps. I have sent you to reap the harvest in a field where you did not work. Others work there, and you profit from their work."
Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them. And Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message. And they told the woman, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him. And we know that he really is the Savior of the world."
So let's unpack this, because there's some things that we really need to understand. Jesus is on his way, and he stops in a Samaritan village. It is hard for us to wrap our head around how this just didn't happen in this day. Samaritans and Jews went out of their way to avoid each other. The only thing that I know that we, some of us, if you're old enough, and most of us in here are, that you can wrap your head around this a little bit is there was a day and time in this country where interracial relationships were seen as a, y'all know what I'm talking about? You remember back in the day? That is a fraction of what Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman would have been like. It was so off the charts that it didn't happen because Jews didn't talk to Samaritans, much less use the same cup or touch or come close to. And then for a man to be talking to a woman in public was just, it just didn't happen. And then there's some other things happening here. Women, it was their job in this culture to go draw water and bring it back for whatever needs that they had during the day. Scripture tells us this, Jesus is sitting here at about noon. That's getting pretty close to the hottest part of the day. They didn't draw water at that time. The women would go as a group early in the morning and draw water and go back to the village for their day. So for this lady to be here at this time of day says she's a complete outcast. She didn't go with the group. We later know why. She's the one that the group is talking about early in the morning. She's the one they're sharing gossip about. She's the one who didn't want to be around them because they didn't want anything to do with her. And so in 4 through 6, Jesus is hot. He's tired. He's at Jacob's well by himself. And there's some lessons for us to learn here. Because if you don't know it, you're the woman at the well. And Jesus is waiting for you. That's the first lesson. Jesus is waiting for you. He wants you to be honest with your life because He already knows everything you've ever done. Look at verse 4. He had to go through Samaria on the way and eventually came to a Samaritan village. And it's around noontime. He's hot. He's tired. The disciples have gone into town. And he's waiting. Verse 7. Soon a Samaritan woman comes to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." This would have been so hard for her to wrap her head around that he would even speak to me, but then he's asking me for water. And she's wanting to know, what the heck is wrong with you? Why are you talking to me? The truth is, Jesus was sitting there waiting on her. He was waiting for her. For us, Jesus sits and waits. First of all, for us to give our life to Him as our Savior. And after we've done that, He sits and waits for you to let Him into your life on a daily basis. We've just finished a series, if you remember. We went through all the rooms in our heart, and there are certain rooms that we don't really want Jesus in. He wants in all of them. Look at what he says in verse 10. Jesus replied when she's asking him, "Why are you asking me for a drink of water?" He replied, If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. She doesn't understand this, but it sounds good, because drawing water was no easy chore. It was hard. It was heavy. You ever carried 5 gallons of water? This was not an easy task. And he's telling her, I'm going to give you something where you'll never thirst again. She doesn't get it. Many times we don't get it. We have these rooms in our life that we keep closed off because we don't want Jesus there, because we think we've got this under control. But the truth is, like for her, Jesus was sitting waiting. Do me a favor. Take out your hymnal. Turn to 483. This is a song that's generally sung during an invitation, and many people interpret it as Jesus waiting for you to come give your life to him. But it is also about you giving him your entire heart. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in the world to keep you apart. What's your answer? Look at verse 2. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms are open wide. Receive him, and all your darkness will end. Time after time, he's waiting for you and I. He's standing in front of that pesky closet door saying, open it, let me clean it out. The second thing I want you to take away from here is we have this idea that whatever's in our lives that he wouldn't approve of, we need it there. We need it. I need whatever that is. I need to skip church to watch the Cowboys lose. I need, you name it. We've all have our things we need. But the truth is, Jesus has everything you'll ever need. Look at verse 11. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. This well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? And besides, do you think you are greater than Jacob? Look at verse 13. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks the water will soon thirst again, but those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty. They're talking about two different things. And so often you and I are. We keep telling God what we need, which is really what we want, which when we get it, we find out it really wasn't what I wanted. And Jesus is offering us something that is beyond our imagination. But the problem is, which is our third lesson, sometimes we don't believe. Sometimes this Savior who we have seen do amazing things that we could not imagine, and who we've given our heart to, whatever it is this time, we don't believe him. And so we try to handle life, whatever it is, on our own. But look at what happens here. In verse 15, she says, I want some of that water. I don't want to be thirsty again. I don't want to have to come down here. I don't want to have to draw up this water in the middle of the day. I don't want to have to do any of this. And then Jesus takes a turn. And it seemingly is out of left field. But look at verse 16. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. She replied, I don't have a husband. Because what Jesus is doing is opening the closet door. He's saying, if you truly want living water, you have to give me everything of your life. And she says, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus tells her everything that was in the closet. Can you imagine if some man you had never met shows up and tells you everything you've ever done wrong? It's going to get your attention. But the interesting thing is, she does what you and I would do. He's talking about her dirty laundry, and you know what she wants to do? Let's change the subject. Let's change the subject. Look at verse 17. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, right, you don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly have spoken the truth. So in verse 19, she says, sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Let's get the subject off of me and back on to you. You must be a prophet. So tell me, and let me summarize this, can't I just go to church anywhere? Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? She does what we do. Let's change the subject. Let's focus on something else. If you want the living water that Jesus has to offer, you have to let him clean the closet out. Because you cannot pretend to be a disciple. You're either all in or all out. One or the other. And the amazing thing that happens to this woman is she goes all in. She goes all in. Verse 25, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. In verse 26, Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. That's what he's told you and I. He's the Messiah. I've got everything you need. And what happens at this moment is her eyes are completely opened. Up till this point, he was just a man wanting water. Now he's a man giving life. And our lesson is, when you get honest with Christ, your eyes will be opened to see things that you never saw before. So here's what happens next. The disciples come back, and you know what they want to know? These are the 12 closest people to the Messiah. You know what they want to know? Why in the heck are you talking to her? What are you doing talking to her? In their defense, they don't get it yet. But let me tell you, there is no defense for us. We have to get it. We have to get honest with Christ. Let him change us completely. And then we have to do something really important. Really important. Because I'm going to be honest with you. We're not doing it. We're not doing it well. Look with me at verse 28. And I'm going to close with this. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village. And this is the part, if you have a paper Bible, you ought to underline it. She stopped what she was doing. This outcast, who was the talk of the town for gossip, she left her water jars, ran back to the village, telling everyone. Telling everyone. Verse 29, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he possibly be the Messiah? See the people. Verse 30, so the people came streaming from the village to see him. She didn't just tell a few people. She's telling everybody she comes in contact with. If your Bible has subheadings like mine does, there's one here that says, many Samaritans believed. Verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed 2 days, long enough for many of them to hear the message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you told us, but because what we've heard ourselves. Here's where the rubber meets the road for us. When you get to heaven, Jesus does not want to know how many people you led to Christ. He's never going to ask you that. If he was going to ask you anything, he's going to ask, how many people did you tell about me? Because leading people to Christ is not our job. It's not our job. Our job is to tell everyone about him. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If we did that well, this room would be overflowing. We'd have to have multiple services. It's because we only got one job. Go tell them. Go tell them. You should come to work church with me. My pastor's terrible, but you should come. Because he's crazy and you never know what he's going to do. Come see the show. That's what she told them. That's what she told them. This guy told me everything I ever done. You should come hear him. We should be telling everybody, come in this room and hear Jesus, what he has to say. Now, do not equate me to him. But what he says in the messages and the song and what takes place here is what people need to hear. And they will believe not because of anything you or I said, but because of what they hear from him. Look how many seats we got right here. Poor Beverly is so lonely up here every Sunday. It's just me and her. That's it, right? And I'm not that good a company, am I? Our job is to tell everybody out there. Now, I hear all the time, we make excuses for the people we're telling. Well, they live too far away. Well, what's wrong? I mean, go pick them up. They're busy. They're doing this. Stop making excuses. She was so changed by what Jesus said to her and her interaction with Him. Her life was changed. And there's a whole village of Samaritans who came to listen to a Jew because a Samaritan said, you got to hear this. We got to go out there and tell them, y'all got to hear this. We got to get busy because we don't have a lot of time. We do not have a lot of time. Pray with me. Father, as we close this service, let us be mindful that we're the woman at the well. We have so much dirty laundry. But the truth is, you don't care. You love to clean laundry. You want our honesty, our hearts, and our minds. And when we give them to you and focus on you, we get to see you do amazing things. So as we get up from this room now and walk out the doors, let us be focused on telling everyone about you. Let us not miss an opportunity. Let us be excited about who you are. Let us be convicted of what you want us to do. And let us not miss an opportunity. Take us from here now and use us to your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.